at this time, we would normally have a scripture reader come up to do a separate scripture reading, but we're doing things a little bit different right now because we have been studying through the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And we are at the point, the main body of the book of Proverbs that contain the actual Proverbs, if you remember, first nine chapters is the introduction that's getting you ready to receive and be at the place where you can most benefit from the actual Proverbs. And so we've gone through the first nine chapters, and hopefully you've, through what those chapters say, you've been convinced of your own need to gain wisdom, and to see it as valuable, and to seek after it, and to listen to God's words that contain wisdom. And so now we are getting into the actual Proverbs, which, as I talked about last week, in my view, they are in fact, for the most part, random. That there's no sort of flow or thought. Every once in a while, you have similar themed Proverbs grouped together, but there's no real overarching structure or flow of thought where they cover one topic, then the next, then the next, then the next. Rather, all those topics are intermingled and mixed all together in kind of what appears to be a messy way. And the reason for that is because Proverbs are wisdom for real life, and real life is messy. And it comes to us in an intermingled, mixed all together way, not the way we would want to lay it out for ourselves, but it comes to us in a messy way. And so that's why the Proverbs then, I think, come to us in that way. And last week we looked at all those different Proverbs mingled throughout those 21 chapters of the book of Proverbs that deal with our words. These are proverbs that talk about the tongue or speech or words or the lips or things like that. And last week we looked at most of what the Proverbs talks about that topic, at least we tried to. But we did leave out one category that's an important part of that topic of words and speech in general. So last week we looked at what the Proverbs say about words to. Words spoken to one another. By you to someone else, or to you by someone else. But in addition to words to, there's another category in Proverbs that is that Proverbs deals with, and that's important for us to consider. I was unsure whether to group this in a later topic of conflict, or to give it its own sermon, or do it last week. So it ended up with its own sermon, and that is not what we looked at last week. Words to one another. But another very important category of our speech, words about one another, words spoken by you about someone else, or about you by someone else. And we talked a lot last week, as I said, how words too can be forces for real good and health in relationships and communities, or can be sources for harm and evil in relationships and communities. And it's easy to then make the mistake, I think, that words about aren't so bad because the person they're about maybe, probably, hopefully won't hear those words, and so they won't do the damage that they could otherwise. But that's a mistake. And so this is not only an important thing to think about for the health and life and peace and unity of our own personal relationships, but it's an important thing to think about for the health and peace and unity of a church. So seeing as we're at church, that's particularly appropriate that we talk about how this affects our church, or we consider its implications for the health of our church. Because my guess is that many of the conflicts and divisiveness and rifts and splits that occur all too frequently, not just in Christian friendships personally, but in churches, if they aren't caused by words spoken about one another, then at least they are made a whole lot worse than they ever needed to be by them. And churches ought to be communities that are different, that are markedly and refreshingly different than the world around us, right? They ought to be different. They ought to be places where you don't have to wonder what's being said about you behind your back, or in what ways your reputation is being unfairly presented or damaged. where people aren't looking for ways to make other people look bad, where there isn't the division between the inner circle gossipers and the outer circle gossiped about, where there isn't the social ladder climbing and pecking order rivalries that go on behind the scenes in every social interaction, but rather where there is the confident expectation of love and acceptance and trust among one another, and where openness and honesty with one another is what's found, and where we find respect and the giving the benefit of the doubt to one another, where you can be confident that's what's told, what you tell your friend in a trusted way isn't going to be whispered down the lane and come back to you mangled and mingled through the rumor mill, where you can be confident that if something is being said about you, what's being said about you is at least true, but more than that, that if it came back around to you, it would make you blush with embarrassment about how nice that was that someone said that about you, rather than get red in the face with embarrassment or shame or anger about something negative or unfair or untrue saying being said about you. Because it paints you in the best possible light rather than the worst, and it builds you up in the hearing and presence of others rather than tearing you down. The church ought to be a place where someone has an issue with you. And hey, let's remember that we're going to have issues with one another from time to time. That is good theology, right? We're going to have issues with one another from time to time, because remember earlier in our worship service, gathering together as the people of God, we confessed our sins together. And the reason we did that is because that is good theology. That is that reflects the truth and reality, not only that we are still sinners, but that we all know that. And we own that, and we take responsibility for that, and we recognize that that's not only true for myself, but that's true for my friend also. We are still sinners being redeemed, and in the process of being redeemed, but not yet completed or perfected or at the end goal of that process yet. And while we don't want to sin against one another, while we don't excuse sin when it happens against one another, we recognize it. We know it's going to happen. We aren't knocked off balance irrecoverably when it happens, and we can deal with it and respond to it when it happens, whether it's me doing the sinning or someone else doing the sinning against me. We can deal with it and respond to that with the same grace and love and forgiveness that we ourselves, each one, are recipients of through Jesus, our Lord, who died for us and for our sins. So we want to be a place where if someone has an issue with you, and remember, we're all going to have issues from time to time with one another. If someone has an issue with you that they can't just overlook, they can just put it behind them and move on in a healthy and united and peaceful way, then they talk to you about it instead of everyone else about you. Any community would be a whole lot healthier and a whole lot more attractive if we would be a whole lot more careful about the words we speak about one another. But recognizing that doesn't make it easy to do that, right? We need the humility that comes from the gospel, and we need the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. These two basic categories in the book of Proverbs that deal with words about, words spoken about one another, are gossip and slander. And I'm not sure that in the Proverbs there's always a terribly clear distinction between those two things, and even in how we use them, there can be quite a lot of overlap. But one of the differences that for which we still retain the two different words is that while slander normally is thought to consist of words spoken about someone else that are false, or at least are carefully construed to intentionally mislead someone into thinking something false, gossip, on the other hand, might be false, but it can and might be true. True words about someone else, but true words about someone else that are used in foolish or harmful ways. Gossip and slander then generally involve spreading reports about other people. And we're just going to take a minute to think through what that is And then we're going to talk about, look more directly at the Proverbs that warn us about those things. So what that is, gossip and slander generally involves spreading reports about other people, reports that can either be unconfirmed reports, bad reports, confidential or unnecessary reports, or false reports. So first, unconfirmed reports, such that the speaker isn't really certain that the information is true, yet they are still presenting it in such a way that it would be received by the one they're speaking to as true. These types of reports maybe are those things we say that are prefaced with, "Did you hear?" or "Do you know what I heard?" And just the way of saying that, even if we don't actually say those words, that way of phrasing things tells us just what that kind of statement is. Hearsay. Did you hear? Or do you know what I heard? It's hearsay. And if we are Christians, we ought to be people who love what is true. And the opposite of that, not hating what is false. And we should love what is true so much so that we don't spread things around as the truth if we're not sure if they are the truth, right? And by the way, I think this goes for, since I'm preaching this sermon in the age that I am, technology and social media. I hate to break it to you, take your notes, but not everything you read on the internet is true. And I have to confess, sometimes nowadays it is hard to know what information to trust and believe. But if you are sharing something or saying something online and you preface it with, "Not sure if this is true, but," you go ahead and say it anyway, then maybe you shouldn't say that thing, especially if it's about another person. And if you're not sure if it's true, don't spread it. And if you spread something that you later find out to be false, maybe you ought to correct that with those you said it to. Gossip and slander are the spreading of unconfirmed reports. Second, bad reports, such that whether true or not true, the person whom that information concerns would rather it not be broadcast around to everyone else. And the word translated in Proverbs as either gossip or slanderer can have sort of an overtone or a sense of grumbler or fault finder. And the idea here is that a gossip is just looking for the faults of other people, just sort of, out to find them, and just can't wait then, once they find them, to spread those faults around in order to make that person look bad, or in order to make themselves look good at the expense of that other person. And now, I want to clarify this, because I think it's important to do. There are times when it's important or right or necessary to spread bad reports about other people. And I don't believe in being sworn to secrecy when there is an issue that needs to be dealt with or exposed or brought out into the light. And the failure to do that sometimes, and the working against that and the covering up of that is a way that people in power and even church leaders can protect themselves rather than the people that they are supposed to be protecting, and insulate themselves from accountability or criticism. And too often, people in power and even church leaders, and this is coming out in the news all the time now, too often the church has kept things hidden behind closed doors in secret and pressured people to keep things secret, not because that's what is best for the flock of God, but because that's what's best for the leaders and what they see as serving their goals and agenda. Sometimes things need to be exposed. Sometimes people need to be exposed. Sometimes public rebuke is necessary. Sometimes people need to be warned and protected from the sin of others. Sometimes you simply, less serious than that, I guess, sometimes you simply need to get advice from someone else about how to respond to something. And that might involve the divulging of information, but even then you should consider that maybe you can be vague and unspecific in order to protect the other person's reputation in the seeking of that advice and counsel. Sometimes things need to be brought out into the light, but other times, many times, they don't. And we should be a little self-reflective and aware of the temptation to justify gossip or slander by believing ourselves to be on some kind of self-appointed righteous crusade. If you're spreading a bad report, you have to seriously consider if there is in your heart the sinful motive of simply wanting to make someone else look bad, or to act out of bitterness and anger and seek to get revenge, or, as I said before, to want to make yourself look good by making others look bad at their expense. And so you have to ask the question, is this really necessary to share? Is it helpful to share? Is it loving to neighbor to share? Is it honoring God to share? Gossip and slander can be unconfirmed reports. They can be bad reports. And related to that, with all those same qualifications that I just made, it can be confidential or unnecessary reports. Proverbs, we'll look more specifically at these proverbs in a minute, but it talks about gossip in terms of betrayal of friendship and trust by taking something trusted between friends in private and unnecessarily making it public. For example, if something was told to you in confidence, such that to tell someone else would be breaking and betrayal of their trust. Or if somehow you came to possess some information that wasn't really public knowledge, but you go ahead and make it so anyway. If it's maybe not something that simply is none of your business and none of the person's business who you would be telling, then you don't need to go ahead and make it their business. These kinds of reports maybe are the ones that we hear prefaced with something like, well, I shouldn't be telling you this, but, and then we go ahead and tell them what we have just said we shouldn't be telling them. And if you have to preface something with, I shouldn't you be telling you this, but, then maybe you should give another deeper, harder, longer thought to whether you should go ahead and tell them that. It can be confidential or unnecessary reports. And fourth, gossip or slander can be false reports, those in which the speaker knows they are false, whether it's blatantly untrue or whether the facts have been selected and shaded and slightly altered just so much as to present them in an unfair way that would prejudice others against someone or damage their reputation unfairly, to represent them falsely in order to make them look bad. False reports, even half-truths, are falsehoods. An incomplete story with distorted facts and innuendos and exaggerations that are meant to mislead someone are falsehoods. And one of the words that is translated as gossip in Proverbs, again, can have the sense of, I said earlier, grumbling, and that can have sort of the sense of whispering grumblings. And the idea here is that, you know, if you need to keep your voice down a lot when you're talking to other people, say at church, and you have to keep looking over your shoulder just to make sure that the person you're talking about isn't going to hear, then maybe you are gossiping or slandering. Let's be a community where we don't listen to gossip or slander. Let's be a community where gossip doesn't make the person being talked about look bad, but it makes the person talking look bad. Let's be a community where we either quiet and keep things to ourselves, or are honest and direct in a gentle way, but a straightforward way with those who we need to be. Let's be a community where we only speak what we know is true, and we only use those true words in a good way that is helpful to others, loving to others, and building up of others. Let's be a community where we paint others in the best possible light, such that if our words got around to the person we're speaking about, they'd be glad to hear them. Let's look a little more specifically then about the actual proverbs on these topics, and specifically what these proverbs warn us about. First, Proverbs warns us of simply the person who gossips. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." And Proverbs 20:19 warns us in this way, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." These tell us to avoid a person who's a gossip, and it tells us two times why that is so. Because a gossip can't be trusted. We often want to portray gossip as an innocent thing, but Proverbs says it is betrayal. It is betrayal. It might feel good when, someone is gossiping about someone else to you. It might feel like you have gotten to this inner circle where trust has been created and established and preserved between you and this person. But that's false trust. Because it feels like trust because they've given you this privileged information and they've given it just to you, and you are in now this circle of what feels like trust. And maybe then you're even tempted once there to trust that person with your own information. But these proverbs warn us that a gossip can't be trusted. Their words are betrayal. And in the forming of that false trust, they are actually proving they can't be trusted, because if they're talking about other people when they're talking to you, who is it likely or at least possible they're talking about when they're talking to other people? There's a good chance it's at least possible that it's you. If they're talking about other people when they're talking to you, they just might be talking about you when they're talking to other people. And if they're betraying others when they're talking to you, it's very possible that they're betraying you when they're talking to others. Why would you trust them if when they're talking to you, they are proving they can't be trustworthy? Don't give them ammunition about yourself to others. But not only that, don't feed their gossip by giving it the audience that it doesn't deserve. Beware of a gossip. Gossip is betrayal. It is the breaking of trust, and so a gossip can't be trusted. Second, beware of gossip's temptation and effect. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. And that proverb is repeated again word for word in chapter 26, verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. This is likening the words that a gossip speaks, and when you hear them, that they are like choice morsels, little bits of delicious food. And when the weather is nice, we like to grill for dinner, you know, and I usually do the grilling. I like doing the grilling. One of the reasons I like to grill is because you can get a first taste of dinner. You know, if the piece of steak or chicken or whatever you're grilling has a little bit of meat hanging off the edge, you can take the tongue and just, when it's done just perfectly, pluck it off, and it has all that grill taste, and it's hot and tender and juicy, and once it cools off, you can take a little taste of that choice morsel, and it's delicious. And what this proverb is saying is that the words of gossip are just like that. They can make your mouth water for just a little taste, and they are delicious when you consume them. They are tempting. Gossip tastes good, and it's important to recognize that. So, because something that is tempting is therefore dangerous, because it's tempting to chew it up and swallow it down, and the greatest danger then is what happens next. This proverb warns us that these choice morsels go down to the inmost parts. And this is a warning that these delicious, tempting words have an effect on us. That just as when you eat food, it gets absorbed into your body, when you give in to that temptation to chew and swallow and consume that gossip, you then digest it. It gets absorbed into you, such that it is then difficult to extract out of yourself. It mixes in the truth with lies in such a way that it becomes difficult to separate them. It colors your perspective on a person in such a way that it's difficult to view them fairly and neutrally and unbiasedly, such that even if you discover that the gossip or slander is not true, it's already affected your perspective on reality and on another person, such that it's difficult to treat them out of that tainted perspective. It's easy to continue to view them with the undeserved suspicion or distrust or disdain that gossip wrongly caused in your perspective of someone else. That's what it means when the proverb is saying these choice morsels go down to the inmost parts. Beware of gossip's temptation and effect. Third, beware of the hatred hidden behind gossip and slander. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. By the way, let me just take a break and mention that if you want, if you aren't able to keep up with writing these actual Proverbs down, since we don't have them listed in like a scripture reading like we normally would, just let me know and I can get those to you. This proverb, 10:18, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. This proverb is sometimes misunderstood, I think, as though it's saying we should never conceal hatred we have. As though it's saying whoever conceals hatred, that's having lying lips. But that's not, I don't think, what it's saying. This would contradict other proverbs we looked at last week that tell us to use restraint in our words and not tear others down with our words. And because, you know, full disclosure isn't always necessary or helpful in personal relationships. Sometimes what's needed is restraint and repentance issued forth in expressing what words of kindness we have and in restraining words of hatred that ought not to be there. And in repenting of that difficulty we're having loving someone else. This proverb isn't saying that we should never conceal hatred or have full disclosure all the time in all of our words, but that often, what it's saying is this, often slander seeks to make itself more effective by concealing the hatred that is behind that slander with lying lips. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and therefore in that way spreads slander is a fool. So the slanderer then will attack the person they're talking about, but will disguise their attack so that it doesn't look so ugly and so that it will be more readily listened to and received by the hearer. They will wrap it up with a pretty bow, even though it is ugliness underneath. It will be concealed by half-truths or by assurances that they love the person and are noble in why they are saying what they're saying about the person. And that makes it all the more dangerous. They'll disguise their words as words of love rather than as words of hatred as they actually are, so that the words will be more readily received and can more effectively do their damage. So the proverb here is warning us that behind slander is concealed hatred. So it's warning us not to be fooled by the lying lips of the slanderer that are trying to conceal the hatred that's driving that slander. Fourth warning, beware that gossip divides and stirs up. 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. And Proverbs 26:20, without wood a fire goes down, without a gossip a quarrel dies down. What these proverbs are telling us is that gossip is an attack on one of the things that God puts prime value upon in the lives of his people and in the life of his church, and that is unity and peace. Gossip is portrayed in these proverbs as being the fuel for the fire of division and conflict and strife in relationships and in a community. It's destructive to the peace and unity. It takes something that was once united, closely united, the proverb says, close friends, and it rips them apart. It separates them out. It destroys the unity and the peace that they once had. And, you know, we don't need help with adding more division and conflict and strife in relationships and communities. Those things happen easily enough on their own, but here the picture then in Proverbs 26:20, without wood a fire goes down, without a gossip a quarrel dies down. It's describing gossip as fuel for the fire of strife and division. It's almost as though, you know, another image that's similar is as though, you know, there is an old fire that's dying out, but the words of a gossip come along and blow air on it such that those embers of charcoal that were dying now get burst into flame again. If you want to be a peacemaker, you can't be a person who gossips or slanders with their words. Fifth warning, beware that gossip harms others. Gossip harms others in many ways, but one of the ways that Proverbs deals with is reputation. And I don't know that those things are explicitly linked in Proverbs, but Proverbs puts a great value on someone's reputation. It compares it to great riches. And in Proverbs 10:7, it says that the name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. And a gossip and a slanderer attacks someone's reputation and seeks to make a name that ought to be a good name used in blessings, and seeks ought to turn that into a name with a bad reputation, in the words of the proverb, a rotting name. Now, your reputation isn't you, but it is often how other people see you. And so it ought to be based on the truth about you. And that's why slander is harmful to others, because it harms someone's reputation in such a way that that the truth that others believe about you is no longer aligned with the truth about you. Rather, as a result of slander, they believe something not only that is false, and not just false, but worse than the truth about you. Beware that gossip harms others. And the sixth warning that we see is beware that gossip harms you. As we saw earlier already, a gossip can't be trusted. The Proverbs warn that gossip is betrayal. And so in the end, if a person who gossips can't be trusted, then a person who gossips will eventually isolate themselves from other people. There's another proverb, though, that talks more about the harm that can come upon someone who gossips. Proverbs 30:10. Do not slander a servant to their master, or they will curse you, and you will pay for it. This proverb warns the person who would gossip or slander that you just might pay for that. It just might catch up to you. And this proverb specifically describes a situation in which the slanderer's words are harming to someone who seemingly has no source of help or ability to defend himself, no recourse, a servant. And the slanderer sees this person in a vulnerable and weak position, and by contrast then sees themselves in an invulnerable and powerful position, and so takes advantage of that to harm the other person or to improve his own situation at the expense of the other person. And the thought process apparently is, you know, what can that lowly old servant do? They're just a servant, thinks the slanderer, and so I can get away with it. They can't do anything about it. And perhaps the gossip or slanderer has that as part of their motivation, that they sort of feel a power trip by their slander against somebody, by believing that this can't harm me because they'll never find out about it, and even if they do, they can't do anything about it. Well, maybe this servant can't do much, but the proverb recognizes that even the person in a situation with no other recourse or source of help in a human level can turn to God for help, and that God hears his cry, apparently, for vindication. God listens, and even though the slanderer feels secure in his evil, he isn't, because this proverb reminds us that even when we feel like we can get away with something because it won't be found out, or even when we do, on a human level, get away with something because it isn't found out, God sees and hears and knows. So let's take warning from these proverbs about the foolish and sinful talk of gossip and slander. And let's remember that as we consider these things, we all fall short. We all are confronted with ways that we have spoken foolishly, that we have spoken selfishly, that we have spoken sinfully, that we have spoken harmfully, destructively, without the honor of God and the love of neighbor on the forefront of our minds and hearts. And we need the forgiveness and the cleansing of Jesus. And we need the strength of the Holy Spirit to bring about that renovation in us that is still yet incomplete. And we need grace towards one another when others sin against us. We need to be people who are quick to forgive and who forgive as we have been forgiven by Jesus. And so let's seek by the strength of God's Spirit to be people who love the truth. God loves the truth. God is truth. In him there is no darkness at all. And we are called to reflect his love for truth by loving truth ourselves. Proverbs 13:5 says, "The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves." Let's be people who, like our God, love what is true and so hate what is false. So let's only speak what is true. Second, let's be people who are humble. Let's be willing to recognize that in some of our speech, there might be sinful motives that lie deep in our own hearts. And let's be willing to consider that. Let's be willing to recognize there might be sinful pride in us by which we seek to exalt ourselves by harming or putting down or doing it at the expense of other people. Let's consider that it is humble to speak to someone directly. And let's try to have the humility to do that in an honest and in a gentle way. And if we can't do that, let's have the humility to not speak. Let's be people who are humble. Let's remember the grace of God that teaches us humility and that doesn't allow us to live in the illusion of sinful pride. Third, let's be people who love. Let's be people who love and who not only then speak what is true, but also speak what is good and what is helpful and what is life-giving and what is building up of others, what puts them in the best possible light, and that considers what words we are saying and whether they are helpful in that particular situation. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to do what your word, as we read last week in James chapter 3, tells us is very difficult to do, to tame our tongues. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. In our own strength, we find quickly our own weakness. But when we look to you and look to your strength, we find the strength that we need. And so we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and help us to look to Christ, who is our Savior, who forgives us in all of our shortcomings and failures, who makes us righteous in your sight such that we don't need to try to justify ourselves before you or before other people, and who is our example of the one who was always righteous in all his thoughts, deeds, and words, and help us to follow after his example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.